Hello and welcome to the TCF Morning Show. It is Thursday, October 29th, and this morning I am joined by Gamer at TCF Gameboy on Twitter and Boomy at Boomy TCF on Twitter. It's been a while since we've had a Gameboy Gamer on here. I can't wait to, we're not a subject, but we need some Bears talk at the end of the show. We'll get into that. But today, this morning on the show, we will be talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series, Boomy's Dodgers. He is very pumped about that. The Justin Turner drama with him getting pulled in, like, I think the seventh or eighth inning for being tested positive for COVID. We got the Falcons-Panthers Thursday night preview, and we also have the TCF NFL Pick Show Week 8. We did not do very good in Week 7. We are back to give you some picks. We are even bringing on Gamer here to help us out. We need all the help we can after last week. And we also got the Wisconsin Badgers football. It was a QB problem. Now it is a full program football problem. It's being postponed. And we also have Boomy's Wacky Web Story, like always. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at @typical_Chicago. If you want to follow the Instagram, Facebook, it's Typical Chicago Fans. Just find us on there. If you go to YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube page, Typical Chicago Fans. Wherever you get your podcast from, if it's Apple, please subscribe, rate, and review. If it's anywhere else, just type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Shout out to 26shirts.com Chicago. If you use the promo code Typical Chicago Fans at checkout, you will get 15% off of your purchase. Again, that is Typical Chicago Fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase. Also, I am Zach Lilia at Zlilia TCF. I don't know if I said that or not at the beginning, but like you said, Gamer, how have you been? We haven't had you on in a while. How have you been, buddy?
I feel like I'm gone, but not forgotten with you guys sometimes, man. No, yeah, this is...
Never forgotten.
It's been a while. Things have been pretty good, pretty chill. Enjoying having sports back in my life and enjoying that the Bears are at least 5-2. Not so excited about Illinois football right now. That's a little kind of a sore subject for me right now, we'll be honest. But, you know, just as long as they get me to Illini basketball, I'll be good.
Yeah, hopefully we can get to that point. Boomy, how you doing? How was your Wednesday?
Good Wednesday, man. We've officially hit the downslope of the week. So, you know, some good news in my chosen profession today. So hopefully things are starting to look up a little bit. And maybe we'll have some high school hoops here. We'll see, man.
Crazy stuff. I'm pretty much saying we're not going to listen to the governor. That's wild, but it's good for Boomy. And
yeah, I haven't really coached anything since I think March 12th was our last baseball practice. So it's been a minute. So I'm happy to be back for now anyway.
But let's get into the subject, boys. We got the Dodgers. Dodgers win the World Series, Boomy's Dodgers, as we would say. It was one of those games that I thought it was the Rays' game to win. They had Blake Snell on the mound. They were cruising. He was cruising. I saw no way that he was looking like he needed to be pulled or anything like that. And what was it, 67 pitches?
Yeah, 67 or 73, something like that.
Sixth inning,
yeah,
somewhere gets there. Pulled. And I think it was, two batters later they hit the home run?
No, that was two batters later. They had a base hit for a run, and then they had a pass ball
for
the first run.
Home run was in the last inning.
Mookie went eighth, and then so it was like a fielder's choice, I think, and a pass ball is what scored the runs.
I got you. But all around, that was a great World Series. A little weird ending to that. We'll get more into that in the next subject with the COVID and all the craziness with the celebration. Boomy, what were your overall thoughts on the World Series?
Yeah, I just kind of felt like after a while, like the Dodgers, the experience kind of came in, and they just never got too down on themselves, and they never counted them out. even when they were down 1-0 and they saw that they had an opportunity when Blake Snell got pulled. And don't get me wrong, I think it was the wrong move, but, you know, Tampa has that dominant bullpen and they weren't clicking on all cylinders, and the Dodgers saw an opportunity to jump in, and that's when they did. That's when they attacked and ended it there, because it goes to a 7th game. Who knows what's going to happen? So
who knows when they took advantage of that at this point?
Yeah, for real. But you know what? It does show you, and our guy Dom made a good point. You know, the Dodgers have been a dominant organization for the last 10 years plus, and they finally got a World Series. That shows you how hard it is to get to that promised land. So, you know, for all the Cubs fans that are always complaining that, you know, a playoff berth isn't, you know, much, that you need to be winning a World Series every year, it's not as easy as you might think it is. Look what the Dodgers, I mean, it's 12, 13 years they've been in the playoffs, and they finally get one. So it's not as easy as some people wish it would be.
No, but say Kershaw gets his World Series. It was they were the dominant team in the playoffs this year. Gamer, what were your thoughts?
It's a long time coming for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I think they deserved it back in 2017. They're cheated out of it. But that Very being true. Said, I feel like it's going to be a hot take, but I feel like pulling Blake Snell when you did is a legitimate fireball offense right now, because not only was he cruising, I feel like his explanation of why he did it was worse than just doing it. He explained that he didn't want Snell to face Mookie and I think it was Turner, Mookie, and possibly Seager, I think, were the three.
Yeah.
And at the time, those three were 0-for-6 with 6 strikeouts against Blake Snell. But he didn't want Snell to face those guys again. And to me, when you got a guy that good right there, having the best stuff he's had all year, and you pull him, I don't know. To me, that's just – maybe not actual fireable offense, but you got to be, like, on thin ice after that, because that's – you are this close. If you're Tampa Bay, you're that close to winning a World Series where – if you can hold him scoreless for 1 or 2 more innings and play from ahead, like, who knows what happens then? So then you could look at a Game 7. So I just feel like that really kind of screwed the pooch there. And he's on thin ice next year, I think.
Yeah,
he definitely followed the analytics a little too close. Sometimes you got to follow the analytics.
Well,
sometimes you got to follow your gut.
Like the 20th straight start for Blake Snell that he did not go more than 6 innings. So
right.
But
and that's their system. But
it's
still
just a huge opportunity missed by the Rays. But I think they'll be back, and then maybe an opportunity like this in the next few years. They got a good team. The Dodgers, we'll see where they go. They still got an amazing offense. The pitching, we'll have to see how that goes. Kershaw, how old is Kershaw? He's got to be like, what, 32, 33?
Yeah, somewhere around there, I'd assume. I think Dave Roberts just saved his job, though, too.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
They didn't win a World Series. They were going to fire him.
Yep. But we got the off season going on now, so we're all back to back to normal here with the off season. The Cubs, we got a lot of news coming around for the Cubs. We got a lot of we'll see where the front office goes with all the
lot of question marks.
Yep. And then we also have the White Sox looking for a head coach still. A lot of signs are pointing towards Tony La Russa, so we'll have to look at that over the next few days. And we'll have to – maybe by Monday we will know who the White Sox new coach is. But let's move on. We got some Justin Turner drama. Comes out in the 7th inning, I think it was, with the positive COVID test. I'm confused how that doesn't come up before the game, but that's beside the point. He goes into isolation, I think, like in the locker room or wherever by himself, and the celebration's going on. He doesn't go out right away for the celebration, but it kind of make it seem like he goes past like MLB security because he's not supposed to go out there. And he was celebrating with the team, taking pictures with no mask on. It's a situation you understand. Yes, you want to celebrate. That's the greatest moment of your life. But you also got to understand the moment, too, that you're in, where it's just going to look bad.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, you just kind of have to go, yeah, it's going to look bad. People are not going to be happy about it. But you celebrate it. And, like, you were around those people before, but that's still not the point of all the pictures that are out and everything. Like, you literally got pulled from the game because you said you had no symptoms. I understand, but you tested positive for COVID. Like, you're not supposed to be out there. Like, you're breaking the rules.
I keep fighting this all day, and I've thought about this a lot. This guy has been playing baseball. This is his 11th season, and this is his first opportunity. He finally won a World Series. This guy's been playing baseball his whole life, and I'm not trying to justify it. I'm not trying to have this argument. I know personally I would be, you know, fighting a big internal battle what I would do, because this guy came so close in 2013 with the Mets, and they fell short in the World Series. Was that 2013 that they lost in the or whatever? Either way, he hasn't won a World Series. I don't know, man. I honestly don't know what I would do, but I think I would be more careful about it than he was, taking pictures without the mask.
The whole thing is just, it looks horrible. It looks horrible.
Yeah, I honestly don't know.
Like, I'm not saying like it's a horrible thing, but it just looks bad. Like, you had your mask on, you took it off for the picture. You're standing next to Dave Roberts, who has recovered from cancer, is in remission. Like, it's one of those things. It's all around bad look.
I tend to agree with that too, what you just said, but also at the same time, this is kind of on Major League Baseball for allowing this to happen the way that it did. The fact that the very beginning of the game, I think it was the second inning, they said that they found the first positive test for Justin Turner, and it wasn't until the seventh or eighth inning then they actually took him out because they confirmed it with the next one. So I think that was really like mishandled by Major League Baseball, but Turner also needs to make a better decision and actually, like, stay where he's supposed to be, I think. I mean, I get it. Like, you want to celebrate. I'll be honest. I'd probably do the same thing he did, but I'm not him, so I'm going to look at it and be like, you're an idiot. You should have stayed in isolation and just
push yourself. Well, it would have helped if Rob Manfred wasn't drunk the whole time.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was so weird.
But he got into the beer stash a little early.
It's just one of those things. He's going to take criticism for it.
He went from being one of the more liked commissioners to being, like, arguably the most hated commissioner in, like, less than 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he is a clown.
He's going to take criticism for it, but everything will move on. I know there's kind of, like, an investigation and everything, but, like, I think it'll move on. It just took a bad look. And let's get into the Thursday night football game. We have the Falcons-Panthers. Yes, Boomy, it's not going to be an exciting game, but it is football. Boomy, after a night of no sports, you will take the Falcons-Panthers.
Right. I'll be watching like every other jabroni out there. Like, I don't want to, but I have to.
You said the Panthers. Are a good team. The Falcons, you never want to watch them because it's just going to be something bad is going to happen. They're going to lose.
What else makes
bad.
You watch? That's like can't miss TV.
Yeah, that is true. I guess it depends on. Yeah, I guess.
What could they possibly screw up?
Depends
this
on
time.
How you see it. If you're a Falcons fan, then it's true. Not very good. But I don't know. I'll be watching it, but it's going to be a rough one.
There's a. Small possibility, though, I think that Christian McCaffrey may return. I don't think he's been ruled out yet.
So, speaking of that, let's go right into it. I am taking the Panthers. I had them last night. I think it's like 2.5. So, if you want to take that right now, if you want to take that early, if you don't know if he's playing yet, because I will go up if he's playing. I would have
that's
to.
It's actually already down to 2.5.
I just said, that's why I said 2.5. I accidentally said 3.5, not bad.
You're good.
But I'm taking Panthers -2.5.
Yeah, I'm on the same thing. I can't bring myself to bet on the Atlanta Falcons to attempt to win a football game until they actually like can and finish a game that isn't in week one or whatever. Did they win a game yet? Yeah, they won one. Mm-hmm.
This one last week, didn't they? Or no, not last week, the week before.
No, they blew that. Yeah, they're 1-6. And
I think the Jets are the only team that hasn't won a game. So,
yeah, they beat the Vikings, and that barely counts. So, I don't know.
But let's go.
And it's in Carolina.
Sorry, but we would say?
You're good. It's in Carolina. Give me the Panthers all day. Gamer, did you have that one too?
Panthers.
Yep.
All across the board. We're going to be putting Maddie's picks in at the end of this segment, so we'll be checking that out for our guy, Maddie. We'll call him Maddie Picks. I think that should be his new.
Not after last week, we don't.
Well, none of us can do that. We all had a bad week. But
yeah, but Matt didn't win a game last week, so.
Well, let's not. Matt, if you're listening to this, you're Boomy just over here just.
Jeez.
Can't be called Matty Picks if you go 0-5-1.
But has he gone, what, 6-0?
Yeah, week one.
Have you gone 6-0?
I don't believe so, but so I'm in first place, so I don't really
care.
That's fine.
That's how you get Matty Picks. Let's move on to our Sunday noon game. What?
Nothing. I'm just talking to myself.
I can't hear you because you. I couldn't hear you. So speak up if you have something to say.
The person in first place would get the nickname.
Nope. It didn't say Matty first place. So I said Matty Picks. Let's go into our Sunday noon game. Gamer, I will let you go first.
So we're just picking any noon game?
Any noon game.
Two noon games.
Two. Let's just get both your picks right now.
Do both of them? All right. My first one I'm going to go with is Colts. I got them at -3.
Okay.
Right now. I'll take the Colts on that. And then you know what? I'm going to take the Bengals +5.5.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I think Joe Burrow's playing some good football right now. It's going to be a close game.
But they did lose their defensive player, but he did not want to be on that team anymore. No. I think he was saying he was going to sell his house.
That's an offensive team right there.
Yeah. Yeah. They did. Yeah, well, they scored, 40 points last week? 30?
Yeah, it was like they were in the 30s. I mean, Bears haven't been there.
I like Joe Burrow. I picked him up in fantasy for the week. Boomy, let's hear your two picks.
I also have the Colts -2.5 is what I have it at now. And then I'm also going to take the Raiders at +2.5. They are in Cleveland. I don't know. I can't trust this Cleveland team. I think Vegas is better than people are giving them credit for. I've been burned on the betting on the Browns this year, so I feel like I'm going to go against them, and then sure enough, they're going to come back and bite me in the ass again. But give me the Las Vegas Raiders +2.5.
I am going to take the Steelers +3.5 versus the Ravens. I like that a lot. I think the Steelers team has proven that they're a dominant team, and I think that 3.5, I like that number. And then I'm going to take the Bills -3.5 against the Patriots. That's a noon game, right?
Yeah.
That just sounds like a 3 o'clock game to me, but
That's a noon game.
Bills -3.5 against the Patriots. I think it's the year of the Bills. So let's hope they.
The year of the Dolphins right now.
Yeah.
Dolphins are in first place. Good. That's correct.
Gamer, what's your 3 p.m. pick?
I got Seattle -3 here is what I'll take for my 3 o'clock.
I like that a lot. I'm also going to take Seattle -3?
Yeah, I got 3.
I'm also going to take that. Boomy?
I had originally had Seattle down, but for the sake of argument, I'm going to go with my second pick. I'm going to take the Saints -4.
Okay.
Ooh.
Who they play?
Dagger to the heart. Bears.
Your Bears?
Jesus.
Dagger to the heart.
Okay. I've lost too much money betting on the Bears.
Don't care. Sunday night, I am going to take the Eagles -7.5. I don't know if the line is a little different because they don't know who the quarterback is going to be. I don't think it's going to be Andy Dalton.
I think
who is their backup?
Like Danino or something.
Did
he go to James Madison?
James Madison, that's what it is.
That's where he went to school.
Yeah. They won a one-double-A national title, I believe.
So we'll see how that goes. But Eagles -7.5. Even if they had Andy Dalton, they were
Ben DiNucci.
This Dallas team stinks. I don't know what is going on with Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know. It's all around bad for the Cowboys. Are we all taking the Eagles?
Yeah, I'm with you there.
No, I'm going to take the Cowboys +7.5.
Boomy, wow. You've made some bad picks. This is a bad pick.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, I'm Dallas beating you.
They're a dumpster fire.
Get over your record. If you're just going to keep saying your record, I don't care.
Okay, well, what about Philadelphia makes you think that they're just this wrecking crew and that they're going to cover 8 points?
The Washington football team beat this team by what, 3 touchdowns? They scored 3 touchdowns against the Washington football team.
Yeah, and Andy Dalton's head is still in Washington.
Yeah.
That's why.
I think the Eagles have a pretty good defensive line. This offensive line stinks. 22-point
difference either. Andy Dalton's not making that a close game.
It doesn't matter. If
the NFL was smart, they flex that game out. No one wants to watch that
game. I don't understand why it's still a Sunday night football game. That should be moved immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is not a game that the country wants to see.
In the eyes of the NFL, this is a big game.
I mean,
technically, it's like a fight for the first.
Give me the Bengals
so
and Browns playing again instead of that. I'd take anything
else. Yeah,
over.
I'd rather watch that.
And then Monday night, I am going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -10.5 against the Giants in New York. I think the Giants also stink.
They do.
It's a lot of points. I know.
It's a lot of points, and I don't know, because you get different versions of Tampa every week, I feel. But I'm going to go with – I think I'm with you. I'll take Tampa. I don't know. They can easily just have a late
back-to-back good week. Back-to-back good week.
They have. Maybe they're turning a corner, so I'll take Tampa.
I'm going to go Giants 10.5. I just think it's too many points to cover. And like you said, Gamer, the inconsistency there – I don't, like I said, I don't.
It hasn't been inconsistent as of late, though.
Right. No, I agree. And I think they're finally starting to figure some things out with the running back situation. And, like, is it Devontae Freeman that's been running the ball? Is that who they sign?
Who do they have right now? Oh, it's Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
No, the Giants.
Oh, I don't
know. Oh, Giants. Yeah.
I'm talking about the Buccaneers. They've been not that inconsistent as of late.
Right. I think they're starting to get the Giants are starting to get a couple things figured out. So they're not good. Don't get me wrong, but I just think that's a lot of points to cover in a Monday night game.
We are going to put Matt Schoolfield at schools _01. We're putting his picks right here.
All right, here we go. Picks portion of the show for me. I may or may not be able to make it to the morning show recording. So Zach and Boomy wanted me to get my picks out, though, because we know the people after my 5-0, or was it 0-5 week last week, are desperately needing some more winners from me. So I'm going to take a crack at it. I think I had a dog shit week last week. I'm pretty sure it was 0-5. If not, it was very close to it. But we're going to write the ship. We'll come back this week with a couple winners here. Starting Thursday, we got Carolina -2.5. Line seems sketchy. Atlanta stinks. They can't play in the second half. They're not going to win any games against any quality teams at this point in the season, I don't think. I think with the coaching change, with the team is in flux. Don't know what it's going to look like next year. There's talk of Matt Ryan being dealt. There's talk of Julio Jones being dealt. McCaffrey coming back. I think Carolina is the quality team. They're the better team. Due for a win. They've had a couple struggling weeks here the last couple weeks. So I like them to bounce back. Take them with a 2.5. Going to the 20-point favorite, the first 20-point favorite of 2020. We had two of them in 2019 last year. It was the Dolphins were a 20-point dog against the Cowboys. The Jets were a 20-point dog against the Patriots. They split. The Patriots did not cover. The Cowboys did. I'm going to take the 20-point fave again in this one. I don't care what history says. I know they're not very good historically, but it was 1-1 last year. The Jets are an animal that I don't think anybody wants to come across at all anymore. I think this is just might as well just leave them lying dead in the street at this point. I think that's exactly what the Chiefs are going to do. They're going to come in, stuff on their throats, and get the hell out of there again with another big victory. 20 points at home. Don't care. I think they're absolutely going to murder them, run up the score if they need to. I don't think it's going to be pretty if you're a Jets fan by any stretch of the imagination. So give me the Chiefs -20 there. I'll take them up to 21. Once it gets over the 3 scores is when I'd probably worry a little bit. So as long as it stays under 21, I think you're good. Ravens -4 against Pittsburgh. I think that line is sketchy as hell. I think they're begging you to take the Steelers. I think Vegas really, really is dying for some Steeler money here, which is normally not an issue because it was one of the heavily public bet teams historically. But I think it's just one of those numbers where you're seeing the record, you're seeing how is this team a four-point dog. That's exactly why I'm going to take the Ravens. It's just like it's just kind of the mind game I'm playing with myself. You got the 6-0 Steelers. How are they coming in being such a big dog? Ravens. Lamar Jackson is going to be tough to stop. I don't care how good the Steelers defense is. This is not going to be a cakewalk for that defense by any stretch of the imagination. They know each other inside and out. Always play tough games against each other. They're always brutal. It's must-see TV as far as I'm concerned. I think it's the noon CBS game. I love the Ravens here, though, -4. I think they're due for a statement win. I don't think they've had that yet. Seattle -3, another bounce-back spot. San Francisco's hot. But Seattle coming off their first loss of the season on Sunday night against Arizona. I think this is a spot where they come back and win. I think they're the better team. San Francisco's still banged up. I think they're fortunate against a Patriots team that didn't bring their A game, to say the least, last week. I think that number that they put up last week is not going to happen against a team like Seattle, especially Russell Wilson's probably still the MVP at this point. Give me the Seahawks -3 there. Sunday night is an absolute dumpster fire of a game. We're getting directly sent to the NFC East hellhole again, and it's just going to be the Eagles and Cowboys. I might have to start at quarterback for the Cowboys if that's the case. Then just obviously take the Eagles. Anyway, take the Eagles 7.5. That's what I'm doing. Monday night, Giants, Brady's kryptonite. I'm going to roll them. 10.5-point dog. See what they can do. Daniel Jones is not a very good quarterback. The Giants show a little fight, though. I don't think they don't really roll over. I think it's a testament to their new coaching staff. It's a little bit, kind of meathead-ish, so to say. But Joe Judge has those guys playing really, really hard. I don't think they're going to lay down at all. I don't think they're just going to give anybody a simple walk in the park, especially Tom Brady. So that's what I got for the pick show. As for the Bears for Monday night, I want to touch base on that real quick since I couldn't get on the last morning show. Matt Nagy's play calling on Monday night was just an absolute dumpster fire. It's unacceptable to the fourth down call, the pitch to Cordarrelle Patterson. I know everyone's talked about that ad nauseum at this point. It's an unacceptable play call. You can't have it on fourth down. You can't have it on third down. You really shouldn't have it anywhere in your arsenal, perfectly honest. But I don't know. I'm sick of him running wild with Cordarrelle Patterson. It just feels like you got a good running back in Montgomery. Pound him. Offensive line was just dog shit, too. So that's going to have to get rectified, or else the Bears are going to be in a lot more trouble than what we just saw last week. So anyway, one more shot at Boomy. The Packers still suck. Don't care what you have to say about them. I don't care what pick you're going to throw on them. I know they're probably, a 7-point fave. So go ahead, take them. I'll still root against you. I'll still root against them. Even root for Kirk Cousins this week. Who knows? But maybe see you, boys. Maybe see you not. All right. Talk to you later.
Great picks from Matt. Boomy probably doesn't like any of those, Matt. I don't know what his problem is today. He's just being quite mean to you. I don't get it.
Sorry, Matt. I wasn't. Zach kind of made it worse than it is.
I would never, ever do something like that.
You're such a bad liar.
I would never do something like that. That's not my motive.
No one did.
That's not my motive.
No one did.
Let's move on to Wisconsin Badgers have canceled their game against Nebraska now on Saturday, and the Big Ten has just ran into a problem that you could have seen coming a long time ago. If you give yourself no days, extra days to make up games because of COVID, you've seen it happen with Florida, you've seen it happen. You can move on. Not saying you can't move on, but you got to be able to be, you got to have some extra weeks in this to be flexible. And they just didn't think about it. They just didn't care. I don't know. And now it could ruin Wisconsin's chances of anything.
Yeah, this is bad, man. This is, and we're a week in.
They had 12 players test positive. The coach tested positive.
Yeah, it's a bad look. What's the quarterback's name that got it?
Graham
Mertz.
Mertz, okay. So here's what I do want to say on the behalf of Illinois football, all right? I'm going to twist this, man. So first things first. He knew going into the game that his roommate had tested positive for COVID and still played that game. That is
allegedly.
And then he put Illinois players in risk. And you know what? I think Illinois deserves some credit here. They didn't
no
come within
credit.
10
they
feet
stung.
Of him. They didn't give it. They didn't come within 10 feet of Mercer. They're just like, we're not going to catch COVID. We're not going to get a breakout. We're going to lose this game by 40, but we're not going to get COVID. We're going to stay away from everybody, and that's why they gave up points. What that's the whole reason. So
maybe Illinois, they could have risked it to keep it within 20.
Lovey Smith for president. He can handle COVID better than anyone, apparently.
You should be proud of that. That's like that's top troll right there.
That is Spin Zone City, man. I love it. I'm very proud of you. That's beautiful.
I love, but what I don't love is that, like I said, I understand with the you try your best to not get the COVID, and they're doing all the protocols. But you got to think that it's going to happen at some point, and this is the Big Ten's fault. This is the Big Ten, not their fault for getting COVID. It's their fault for not having any weeks or any Saturdays lined up to make up games.
Like, none of them had their masks on. Imagine what they're doing every day in the practice facility and in the office. It's like, that's how it spreads as fast as it does. That's exactly like the reason that they're having this problem. Like,
and you're trying to tell me, okay, you got 100 kids in that team probably, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
You're trying to tell me nobody's going out. You know how hard it is? Take a college kid and say, nobody go out. Nobody hang out with anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not,
go to football.
I'm not saying it's the right thing, I guess. I mean, it's a tough situation.
Right.
I just think if you campaign to go back for Big Ten football, first off, you had all this time to plan something better where you could have more flexibility. And second off, like, all these players knew ahead of time what they were in for. They campaigned to come back to play. Here we are. Like, you gotta take care of yourself. You can't let this stuff happen.
Well, also, like you said, you also gotta think of Big Ten's gotta think of the bigger picture. Why did we start so late? That's just dumb of them to not think of that. Let's end the show here with Boomy's wacky web story. Boomy, what you got?
Well, guys, what do you do when you're 104 years old? You live 108 miles away from your family, your 82-year-old son, and your grandchildren, and you can't sit in a car for that long. It's 108 miles. What do you do? Well, Margaret Hansen of Denmark decided that she was just going to rent a helicopter, and this is a baller move. This is the most baller move of anybody I've seen over the age of 100, without a doubt. She rents a helicopter. They pick her up from the retirement home, and they helicopter her back to her kids so she can spend the weekend. God knows what it cost, but she said it was worth every penny. It only took about an hour, and I'm assuming in Denmark it's probably a little snowy there this time of year, if I had to guess.
Cold.
And twice that in a car. So what a baller move out of Margaret Hansen, who just decided, you know what, I want to see the grandkid for 2 hours. I'm not, doing this. Let's get the heli out here. Like, just scoop me up and let's go see the grandkids.
I love that move. I would. Oh, if I didn't have to drive anywhere, that would be beautiful. I hate getting into a car, truck. I hate it. Not that I hate it. I just don't. I don't know. I need quicker ways of getting places.
Yeah. Absolutely. I respect that move so much.
That's amazing. Good for her.
Move. 104-year-old baller move.
Yes.
But anything? Oh, post show, gamer, thoughts on the Bears?
You know what? I got them to win this week. I really do. I feel confident about them winning this week.
I'm with you.
I've turned a page. You guys know me. Especially with the Bears, I am very cynical. Like, I get down to them so fast because I'm tired of watching the same thing every year where they just suck offensively and waste a good defense. But this year, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the fact I'm so happy to have sports back. But I keep moving on next week thinking, you know what? The Bears got this. They're going to figure it out this week.
We
like, Nick Foles is going to throw for, 300 yards, a couple touchdowns.
We could have somebody else
score.
Call the plays.
I mean, that'd be great. Then I'm sure I'm going to wake up Monday morning and I'm going to be really, ticked off and be yelling at the radio the whole way to school. But, it is what it is.
Better than tonight with no sports.
Exactly.
Tonight really humbles you. It really humbles you. It reminds you of times when we had no sports.
Or dark days.
Yeah.
The dark ages.
Days with no sports and MLB The Show for like 8 hours a day.
Yeah, seriously.
But thank you for watching the Typical Chicago Fans Morning Show.
You can follow Gamer on Twitter at TCF Game Boy, and you can follow Boomy at Boomy TCF. I am Zach Lilia at Z Lilia TCF. The main page is at Typical _ Chicago. Instagram, Facebook, just type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Go over to YouTube and subscribe to the Typical Chicago Fans YouTube page. All our morning shows, podcasts, interviews, food reviews are all on there. And then wherever you get your podcast from, if it's Apple, just type in Typical Apple Podcast. If it's just an Apple, if it's Apple Podcast, type in typical Chicago Fans. You can subscribe, Apple. Rate, and review. Please give us that 5-star rating. If it's anywhere else, just type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Shout out to 26shirts.com, Chicago. Go over there, buy a shirt, buy a hat, buy a flag, and you use the promo code Typical Chicago Fans at checkout. You will get 15% off of your purchase. Again, that is Typical Chicago Fans at checkout, and you will get 15% off of your purchase at 26shirts.com, Chicago. Anything else, boys?
Matt, sorry for the ricochet shots.
Yeah. I don't know if he means that, Matt.
You're the problem. You're the problem here.
So. I don't think so. Thank you for, like I said, Gamer, for coming on the show this morning, waking up real early with us to record the show.
Appreciate it.
This has been the TCF Morning Show, Thursday, October 29th. We love you all.
Peace.